The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Cecil Lammy joins us now. The bullpen door is opened. Fire up the trumpets. And here comes Cecil running in, sprinting in for the bullpen. The guy can't wait to get up there and jump on the mound. How you doing, my man?
I cannot wait to talk about how the Broncos got it right with you, brother. They got it right. And what a night. What a day facing us today. We'll get into that. But Sean Payton has made his call, and it's the right call for the Denver Broncos.
Why?
It's the right call because you get a guy that can play right now. Drake May had to wait, and Drake May's not that good, okay? Let's just get that out the way. He's not the type of player that you can say, okay, here's my franchise right now. We know that Zach Wilson is not any sort of long-term answer. He's a lottery ticket, and whatever. It's a scratch ticket. You're going to throw him in the trash soon enough. You get a guy in Bo Nix that will run your system true to form. This is a Sean Payton fantasy. I think I might have had to clean it up. I might have said something different last night during the broadcast. But this is a Sean Payton fantasy because it's like, wait a second. The guy is a supercomputer. Again, that's the word that scouts and evaluators and GMs that I talked to were saying with Bo Nix. Supercomputer. You get a guy that runs the system true to form, and then when plays break down, he kills you. He goes after you. He goes for the jugular. That's why he got 9 yards per passing attempt under pressure compared to the 3 yards passing attempt for Caleb Williams. So you get a guy that works with Sean Payton that can do what he wants him to do. And, of course, Sean Payton has to love that.
All right. So I choose to look at it that my belief in this pick is that I don't believe that Sean Payton was going to draft any quarterback. And that for somebody who understands that his legacy is on the line with what he does here, yes, in Denver, I do not believe he was just casually going to take any quarterback. That right. It had to be the quarterback that he saw his next breeze. He saw his Drew Brees and whatever guy he was going to be able to draft, whether it's the way the guy thinks, whether it's the way the guy plays, whether the kind of rapport he was going to be able to have with that quarterback. There was going to have to be heavy, heavy elements of Drew Brees in this pick. So do you believe that this was a Bo Nix pick, or do you believe that Payton was one of those was going to be one of those situations where he would have taken whatever was left over?
Yeah, I don't think he's just taking whatever's left over. Now, could he make it work? Yeah, I mean, this team took a shot on Zach Wilson. You know, for the love of God, we know that Sean Payton's not against reclamation projects. It's kind of his specialty. When you look back at what he did with Kerry Collins and turning him around with the Giants, of course, he did develop Tony Romo and was the Cowboys. It was somewhat of a reclamation project for Drew Brees, because John Lynch ruined his shoulder, and then, you know, there's a ton of questions around Brees, and Brees was okay, but he was also replaced by a first-round quarterback in then San Diego. So, you know, I look at this and go, this was his guy that they knew they could get. Caleb Williams was one, Jaden Daniels was two for them. The number three quarterback on their board was Bo Nix, and that's...
So you believe that, because we always hear that, yes, after, yes, every draft. Well, we can't believe he was there. We right. couldn't believe he was there. He was the top guy on our board.
I think we have evidence, one, in the fact that, you know, Drake May was not part of their plan. Now, if it was J.J. McCarthy, let's say that, because that was kind of the feel, right? He loves J.J. McCarthy. I've said it multiple times. I thought J.J. McCarthy was his guy. I was wrong. It wasn't his guy. It was Bo Nix. Now, Bo Nix was kind of the fallback plan, but no, Bo Nix was the plan, and here's why. It was so cheap to get J.J. McCarthy. So cheap to move up, to leapfrog Minnesota. I think he did dupe Minnesota in having that information. Sean Payton admitted last night he was part of, you know, putting it out there like, hey, we could really move up. We could really move up, when the plan was get Nix at 12. The Penix pick made him nervous. It certainly shocked many people, most people out there. James Palmer knew it 3 weeks ago, couldn't say anything, but it was Penix, Arthur Blank, making that call. So that kind of rattled him a little bit, because then that made teams behind him, you know, more desperate, right? And I know the Rams liked Bo Nix. And if you have Sean McVay and Sean Payton liking the same guy, for the Broncos fans that are disappointed this morning, I'm like, why? What did you want? You know, move up to 2 for Jaden Daniels? Okay, buy Surtain, buy 3 first-rounders. You know, you didn't do any of that. You stayed put where you're at. You played the game perhaps better than any team this year played the game, and you got your guy.
So, wait a minute. Hold on. I got to back up to something. You're saying that Arthur Blank, who signed off on a four-year, $180 million, $100 million of a guaranteed contract to Kirk Cousins, was the one that was pushing for them to draft Michael Penix?
Yeah. He was in the, among the people
what?
There. Yeah, because when you look at his legacy, right, as the Falcons owner, he's getting up there in age. He wants to make sure that, you know, they have the best chance, especially in that division, which is real winnable, to continue on if Kirk Cousins gets banged up. You know, coming off an Achilles injury, and not everybody's Tommy Brady, okay? Hey, you can play, and look at what Aaron Rodgers, you know, I can keep playing, guys, I can do it. You just can't. Your body's not meant that or to do that. Football is such a tough game, and not everyone can be Tommy Brady or Vinny Testaverde or any of the other guys that played in their 40s. Kirk Cousins might just suck, you know, after that Achilles. That might be the case. I don't think so. Plus, Kirk Cousins kind of makes things difficult. He did in Minnesota. Minnesota was, you know, maybe, you know, happy with their decision to move on. So Cousins, aw shucks, gee whiz, guys. Yeah, he also kind of makes things difficult when things don't go his way. So now you get a guy in Penix, they can get in there and kind of, you know, work up and then see if Cousins is banged up. You got a guy that can take over, you won't miss a beat.
All right, Cecil coming in out of the bullpen for Stankitz and Is It Just Me? A Friday, got a lot to react to, a lot more Bo Nix reaction. Day two of the draft, the Broncos without a second round pick. They are scheduled to pick, what, 12th in the third round. We'll see if anything else could be in the works to improve their draft capital for today. So we've got that. We've got the Nuggets. I'll throw it in. Is It Just Me, Cecil? And I don't care what sport you love the most, what sport you cover. Is it just me or have the Nuggets absolutely stolen, ripped away the soul of the Lakers? Because what they did, I said this after game two, you don't come back from this kind of a loss,
right?
If you're the Lakers, you do not come back from this kind of a gut punch loss. And boy, was that on display again last night, because you know they came out with the obligatory, we're at home, it's game three, we got the adrenaline of the crowd, let's go give our best shot. But you could see it. You could see it by the end of the second quarter when the Nuggets, despite not playing their best game, despite having Nikola Jokic in early foul trouble, were only down four. You could already sense it as the teams walked off the floor. And then you come out in the third quarter, and my goodness, was it evident.
Yeah.
The Nuggets just understood, okay, now this is the time. We flipped the switch. The Lakers knew it was coming. And then once it started to happen, they just quit.
Yeah.
They just quit. And they knew it. The crowd knew it. And it ended up being really almost a boring second half of basketball. Glorious if you're a Nuggets fan, because you just watched it. It was so inevitable that they just sucked the life out of the Lakers, and the Lakers knew they could do nothing about it.
Is
it was so beautiful to watch.
Is it just me, or should no one? This is very personal for me, Mike, so I'll try not to cuss or get too emotional. Is it just me, or should no one ever say LeBron James is the GOAT ever again?
Oh, no,
like,
yeah,
seriously,
right.
Come
exactly.
On. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are a machine, an absolute machine. And now after the Jamal Murray shot, which I could watch that on a loop forever and ever and ever. And outside of winning a championship,
LeBron,
whether it's Avs or Nuggets or Broncos, you have to put that play in the top five of Denver sports history. But after that shot and the emotion they're in, which is natural, I mean, it was an amazing shot. Again, I could watch it on a loop. I thought, okay, emotionally, how do you respond? LeBron's talking, you know, Anthony Davis is walking off, he made a shot, and then dropping the mic, like getting all ticked off, like, all right, Pollyanna, you know, you're getting a little upset there. And then LeBron saying home fans, and I get what you were just saying, but I was like, okay, emotionally, how do they respond? And how do the Lakers respond? We saw it. They don't have any heart. They've taken the heart, if that team had any.
Right.
They've taken it.
Right. Whatever was left.
Yeah.
They
might as well just get swept. Just get swept. There's no, you know, hey, we at least we got one, guys. Like, no. Lakers, just lay down, stay home. And Nuggets go get another ring.
Yeah, Nuggets are going to finish this off in four, because they're so their standard is the standard, right? And there's no way they're going to deviate from that. And the Lakers at this point know that they got nothing. And I thought all you need to know about the Lakers was exhibited by D'Angelo Russell at the end of that game, where they're in a huddle and he's sitting over there by himself, you know, picking at his nails and looking at his phone. It's like, okay, there you go. That's all you need to know about the Laker mindset. LeBron looked defeated. LeBron looked beat. Anthony Davis looked defeated. Darvinham has no answers. He's getting just lapped, you know, 2-3 times around the track by Michael Malone, who is just out-coaching the Nugget staff, just out-coaching the Lakers staff. So, no, this one is over, and the streak is going to continue, and the whole NBA world is going to be wondering, how once again did we blow it and look so foolish in picking the Lakers that they were going to be able to beat the Nuggets in this series? They look foolish. Another, is it just me on the RamosLove.com text line right now? Is it just me, or is Connor Hellebuyck the real goaltending story of this series? I completely agree with that, because Alexander Georgiev, he answered his critics. He answered the doubters about whether or not he should continue on in this series. He responded in game two, and now I can't wait for tonight, game three at Ball Arena, because to me, I know what I'm going to get from the Avalanche. They're not going to let down after the way that they played in game two. They're only going to pick up where they left off from in game number two. To me, the storyline is Winnipeg, because last year they grabbed game one of their series with Vegas and then got rolled in the next four. Do they still have those thoughts? Are those demons still in their head? And Hellebuyck, who was supposed to be the best goalie, bar none, going to cruise to the Vezina Trophy as the best goaltender in the NHL, he's looked ordinary in these first two games. How does he respond on the road now in game three, where all of Winnipeg, probably all of Canada, is talking about, hey, what's up with Connor Hellebuyck? How does he respond? I can't wait to see that tonight.
Yeah, we've got some great sports action, that's for sure. I got another, is it just me? Is it just me, or does James Merrilat need to do the best he possibly can to get on Michael Malone's Christmas card list? Here's the thing. You mentioned the standard with the Nuggets, right? The standard is the standard. The standard is set by Michael Malone. Does he have the greatest player in the world? Yes. Does he have one of the greatest players of all time in NBA history? Yes, of course. But you have to have the right coach in place. You have to have the standard set. And Michael Malone can be a little gritchy at times. How many, what is it, 2 years ago or whatever, he's calling him soft every other day, seemingly. You know, you set that standard. You set that expectation. And I go back to Denzel Washington and remember the Titans. Like, leave no doubt. That's what they're doing. Because you know the NBA wants the Lakers and LeBron and the stupid refs and the crying for the refs. Like, LeBron James is incredibly annoying to watch. Like, physically, is he gifted and a great basketball player? Of course. That's why he was the king. That's why, since he was a teenager, this guy has been a dominant force on the court. It's a rare skill. I've always said he's like Magic Johnson. You know what I mean? People was like Mike. No, Kobe was like Mike. And, you know, the closest we'll ever get to Michael Jordan. But the crying and the whining and the refs, like, you know that the Lakers are going to get those calls. Well, how do you beat them then? How do you beat them so handily? You have a standard. That standard is established by Michael Malone. There is no doubt. I mean, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
what he's done.
Yeah, I know Malone has his critics out there, and I just don't understand it. And I guess I just look at the role of the basketball coach in the NBA differently than maybe some do. For some, it's all about X's and O's, and it's all about rotations and substitution patterns and all that. And I'm like, no, it isn't. Not for me, because I still subscribe. The great Chuck Daly, who coached the Bad Boy Pistons back in the day, he once was asked, what's your role in all of this? And he said, my job is to get the players permission to coach them. And there isn't another sport in professional sports where the players hold the power like the NBA. And so when the players have that much power, your job as a coach is you got to get their permission to coach them and coach them hard. And I think that has always existed. And I don't think that has changed. whether it was when Chuck Daly was coaching the Pistons or when Michael Malone was coaching the Nuggets. I think there's an element of that. And you also have the creating that culture, the fact that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic both endorse Michael Malone, that's huge. Because that goes right back to what I was saying. The idea that you have to have your best players, that they give you the permission to coach them. And that has clearly been the case with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. They've been together with Malone now for 8-9 years. So that is the greatest strength of Michael Malone. I don't care if he can never draw up an X and an O. The fact that he's got these guys, they have his back, that is his greatest strength. And the fact that over the years, we've seen all these young, homegrown players who've been developed. Mm-hmm. Jamal Murray developed. Nikola Jokic developed. Michael Porter Jr. developed. We're seeing this year Christian Brown, Payton Watson developed. Right. You think that's a fluke? You think that's a coincidence? You think that's just, wow, Michael Malone, boy, has he stumbled into something where over the last 8-9 years, all these young players who were drafted by the Nuggets have all developed. You think he's just an innocent? He and his staff are just some innocent bystanders along the way?
All been developed differently. You know what I mean? It's not like he's done the same thing over and over again and just gifted the greatest of all time. Like, no, he's developed guys differently. Look at Michael Porter Jr. How many times, for myself, I'll include myself in this, how many times have I been frustrated with him, with that kid years ago? Because we know there was people that I trust that cover the NBA, obviously much more than I do, said, you know, hey, there's some like Kevin Durant to his game. Well, how frustrating was it when MPJ, all he wanted to do was stand at the arc and just wait for a shot? You know what I mean? Didn't really want to hustle, didn't really want to even move, would just kind of stand there. It's like, all right, dude, you're not Reggie Miller. And he's developed him. He's got buy-in from these superstars. You got a guy like AG who's absolute heart with his game. Not just the dunks, not just the rebounds, the block shots, the emotion, like absolute heart of the Denver Nuggets. And then to see the development of those young players, it makes you excited. And that's why, like, I hope when the draft is done, I always have a little bit of a toast. I don't think I'll go Michael Malone dynasty like that, but I'll have a Michael Malone moment once the draft is over, brother. Run it on about 3 hours of sleep, but I don't care, baby. It's draft time. You got great basketball you get to watch. This is a fantastic time.
Is it just me? Let's get to some of them. Darren in Lafayette, is it just me? The Nuggets look like they were just casually taking care of business. It was awesome. I don't like the word casually. I like the word methodically. I like the word relentlessly. There is a grind you into dust type mentality, a Terminator type mentality about the Nuggets, an inevitability about the Nuggets where they are so confident and comfortable in who they are that no matter what is thrown at them, they know what they are and what they can fall back on. And that once they get back to doing that, they know that they can't be beat. And that is, that is powerful. That is powerful, Cease, in professional sports when you have that kind of standard that you can believe in, because a lot of teams are just wandering through the forest, you know, trying to figure out who they are and what they are. And when you're one of those lucky teams, I don't care what the sport is, when you're one of those lucky teams that know exactly who you are, oh man, that is powerful. Ask the Lakers.
Yeah, well, and you can be the bully, I mean, in a sense, because you're just out there doing your thing and you're going to be relentless. And inevitable is the word that I like to use with the Denver Nuggets, thinking of Thanos, right? Like, you're just, it's going to happen. You're down by 20. Yeah, okay, we're going to win. You know, hey, we're back at home. Yeah, okay, we're going to win. You know, and that's why I called them a machine. Like, they are very methodical. Mechanical seems a little bit too cold to say, but it's just the way that they conduct business, and they look at what's thrown at them, they don't panic, and they respond.
Finally, this one, Standard. What are you talking about, Evan Standard? They've won one chip. Calm down. Dude, I'll tell you what. Then, okay, you got
me. Oh, my God.
All right, the texter, maybe it's I'm a little bit tired. I'm riding the adrenaline of everything, but a texter, let me tell you something. They're going to win another championship this year. They are going to win another championship. Okay? Knock on wood. Everybody stays healthy. They are going to win another championship. I guarantee it. So then it's going to be two. Then what are you going to say to me about the standard?
Well, there's only
the
one two.
Well, they've only won two. They've only won back to back.
Right.
You know? Okay. But no, it's going to happen. Let's see. We got another one. Is it just me or is everyone overthinking the Bo Nix evaluation? All you had to know which quarterback the Broncos were going to take is put on the tape of their interviews. This was always Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy for what they have in display between the ears. Sean wants a cerebral, high-energy guy that can handle anything, and Bo and J.J. were the two guys that were within reach.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think there was a lot of overthinking in this and by the fan base, and trust me, I've seen enough reaction. Mason and I did a show last night at 1 a.m., okay? So I was like, I see the reaction from the fans. It's like, all right, for the people that are upset about this, one, this is Sean Payton's guy, okay? So y'all should ride with what Sean Payton wants to do, right? This is his guy. His legacy is on the line. And then to go back to it, it's like, okay, smart and accurate. He wants a guy that's smart and accurate. Who doesn't want that? He wants a grinder. Bo Nix, one, he's married. He's not going to be out there running around at the clubs. You're not going to have any sort of, well, I hate to say it, you know, some Josh Allen problems when it comes to focus, right? Nobody's Joe Namath anymore, everybody, okay? Put the fur coats away. So, like, you look at Bo Nix, and you're like, okay, he's going to work. He's going to grind. He's going to be there and put in all the work. And he's a coach's son. Nobody coaches you harder than your father. So, like, as a coach's son, he's going to be able to take that chewing, understand the message, and then go out there and execute. Perform with a calm mind. And again, I go back to the only number that anyone needs to know. Don't worry about the 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Don't worry about the 4,500 yards. Don't worry about how old he is. All these numbers. There's one number you need to know, and it's not his accuracy. By the way, FBS record accuracy. It's not that. It's the number under pressure. What does he do under pressure? As Sean Payton said last night, we took away all the screen passes. He had 150 micro passes that are at or behind the line of scrimmage. He completed 145 of those. And by the way, that is a tougher pass. So what you do now is you take away the micro passes. Now look at him. Oh, my God. Like, he goes downfield. He still maintains that accuracy. You know, is he the Josh Allen runner? No, of course not. Can he scoot a little bit? Yes, but his maneuvering within the pocket, the way that he is smart, he's not really fooled by what a defense throws at him. He takes care of the ball. And I'll give you another number. 2.4 seconds is the time before pass for Bo Nix, number 4 in all of college football last year. And you say, well, wait a second, Cease. That's because all them damn screens. Okay, that's part of it. But again, he's running the system. Your average snap to sack time is 2.6 seconds. It's actually gotten a little bit longer. So, like, he gets rid of the ball before the pressure can get there. Okay, that's good. I'll give you something else. Vic Fangio, God bless him and his meatballs and pasta. No, that if it's only weird if you make it weird. But God bless Vic Fangio, right? Vic Fangio's defense has taken away the deep game. In this league, the number one quarterback last year in short passes was Pat Mahomes. So for everyone, oh, I want to go deep. And okay, that's Madden. All right? You had a quarterback that played more Madden than he actually played real football. How about you get a guy that operates in the current state of today's game? Like it or not, the NFL has changed to a dink and dunk league. It's figured that out with quarterbacks. Like, oh, okay, we don't need that pocket guy. We can have a guy run around, extend the play, run if he can, and then dump it off, do short stuff. Coaches kind of like that. It's more control for them. It's longer handoffs. Hell, you saw Tommy Brady do it, right, with a number of guys, whether it's Julian Edelman or Danny Amendola or whatever. Yes, I always call him Dammy instead of Danny. But anyway, like, the game, today's modern game is short to intermediate. Bo Nix lives, nay. Strike that from the record, Simmer. Bo Nix thrives in the short to intermediate game.
Did you just say nay? Well, that's wow, you are on a roll. You are on a roll.
You make an intelligent observation.
Coming up, we'll get more into Is It Just Me, including Cecil. You got a texter mad at you.
Oh, no.
For identifying the wrong goat. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Cecil Lammy staying in for Stink, who had to take care of some Stink stuff. Hanging out
stink
on his
stuff is
stink
what we're calling
stuff.
It?
Yeah, Stink stuff.
Stink stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different than what you and I do. It's Stink stuff.
Yeah.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, fresh off the Broncos, drafting a quarterback last night. Bo Nix is the choice. Day two of the draft, second and third rounds coming up tonight. The Broncos, as of right now, do not have a second round pick. They do have a third round pick, 12th in the third round. So we'll see if they move up for that. You got the Avalanche playing tonight, game three. Also, fresh off the Nuggets dismantling, stealing the soul, the will of the Lakers again last night, going up 3-0. And it's led to this text. Is it just me, but Cecil, you're now dismissing the 20-year career of, if not the GOAT, then one of the five greatest players in the history of the NBA? You're an idiot, and you shouldn't have a voice on the radio.
Wow.
Fool, dishing on a 39-year-old athlete who's still playing at the highest level.
It's annoying to watch LeBron James now. And if the texter was listening, I praised him since he was 18 years old. Like, LeBron James obviously is a Mount Rushmore type of basketball player. But it's just annoying. I'm over the flopping. I'm over the crying all the time. He gets a little scratch and then he like flies off the floor like, oh my God, like, please. And he's not the
You're
GOAT.
Not that guy, pal.
He's not the GOAT. Like, we already know this. The debate has been over for a long time. The closest was Kobe. Right? The closest was Kobe. The GOAT will always be Michael Jordan. It's not just because I'm a big Jordan guy. Like, can we just enjoy what's going on right now? And right now, it's what to enjoy as a basketball fan is the absolute dominance of Nikola Jokic. That's what's fun to watch as a basketball fan. You know what else is fun to watch? And Nuggets fans are going to hate when I say this, but watch an Ant. Watch Anthony Edwards, right? Like, that's fun to watch. I want to watch basketball and have fun. Not watch basketball and see an old guy. Just bick it, LeBron. Just bick it, okay? You're not fooling anybody with the implants. Like, just go ahead and bick it. It's okay. You know? And it's just not fun. Can I? All right. You shouldn't have a voice. Whatever, dude. This is my opinion. Watching LeBron James is annoying.
Yeah, it's... You can still acknowledge LeBron James' greatness.
Sure.
I marvel at... The way that this guy at age 39 still tears up and down the court with the enthusiasm of a 22-year-old. I admire that, but this has always been the idea that for I guess more recent vintage NBA fans that they look at LeBron James as their GOAT. And I'm sorry, I just can't put LeBron James ahead of Michael Jordan. And I do believe that LeBron's behavior during this series has revealed why it's silly to even think about putting LeBron James ahead of Michael Jordan. Because when LeBron comes out after blowing a 20-point lead and losing the game that they had to have if there was any realistic chance of winning the series, he mumbles through the first 3 minutes of his press conference and then all of a sudden gets energized and goes on a 45-second rant about the officiating, how bad the replay center is in the NBA, and then drops the mic and walks out. I'm sorry. That is a terrible, terrible, embarrassing look, and there's no way you could put this guy over a Michael Jordan when he's acting that way. I'm sorry. Right. You just can't. You can acknowledge his greatness while also acknowledging that, sorry, the greatest of all time doesn't act like that after a 20-point blowing a 20-point lead and losing. No,
yeah, and here we are because of one Laker fan or even the national media. We're falling into the trap. And I just said it. Like, we need to be like, oh, my God, Michael Porter Jr. Oh, my God, Aaron Gordon. Oh, my God, Nikola Jokic. Oh, my God, Jamal Murray. Everybody. Oh, my God, Michael Malone. We need to be talking about that, not LeBron crying. Like, again, like, we can acknowledge what he's done. We can respect what he's done, obviously. You'd be a moron if you didn't, like, recognize what LeBron James has done for this game. But at the same time, you can be like, it's the Nuggets' time. And that's why I just want the Lakers done. All right? I want LeBron retired. I want the Lakers done. move on. This era of NBA basketball is about Nikola Jokic. This is, and you and I have talked about this. You and I talked about this years ago. We said they're trying to do it like the Spurs.
Yep.
And that's really difficult, but they did it,
they
man.
They did it.
And for the one text who's like, they only got one ring. Dude, you and I, now, this is where I sound like Mike Evans, and I love it. I love it, brother, because I so appreciate you and respect you. You've been on air 30 years, whatever the number is. I've been on air 20 years. We've been in this town a long time, me my whole life, you for a long time. Did you ever think the Denver Nuggets were ever going to win an NBA championship?
No, no.
The answer was no.
No.
And they did. And they're going to win another one, and maybe even another one. No. And we're all going to be doing the Michael Malone, Dynasty. Like, that's flipping awesome, man.
Dynasty.
And as fun as basketball is, I just want to have fun. I want to talk about the great players and have fun with it. I don't want to talk about the guy who's still holding on, yes, putting up numbers and playing at a high level. I wonder how he's doing that at age 39. That's just a question.
Ooh.
I don't have an answer,
ooh,
but that's just a question, right?
Leading question right there. Fever, what do you got?
Oh, I was just going to say, when it comes to LeBron, I always categorize him as the greatest athlete to ever play the game of basketball. So not the best basketball player of all time, just the greatest athlete to play the NBA.
Did you watch Michael Jordan in his prime?
Dude, LeBron is different when it comes to that. Come
on. You don't think Michael Jordan was athletic?
No, I didn't say that. I said LeBron is the most athletic player to play in the NBA.
I would push back on that. I'd say that LeBron
at that size. Yeah,
that,
I, mean, yeah.
I think he is.
Dude, LeBron's a freak.
Yeah,
when he was in his prime.
Yeah,
Michael at that size, the way he was jumping out of the gym.
Freak. Magic Johnson was a freak. I mean, no, sorry, you're not going to get me to agree with that. He's unlike, probably maybe any other body type player that we've seen,
yes,
come through the league. I'll give,
yes,
you that, but that doesn't make him more freakishly athletic than Michael Jordan was, or
honestly, do you know
Magic,
maybe the freakish, most
Sean
freakish
Kemp
player was
or
David Thompson.
Right.
If we just think about like absolute freak Skywalker, man, like that is what I think of it. But LeBron, for his size, I mean, again, it's been remarkable. So for the texter, don't get to underwear in a twist, the lemon twist, right? Come on, let it go, man.
Hey,
let it go. It's over, LeBron. It's over.
I want to get into this one with you, Cecil, because you, more than anybody else that I know of, you really immerse yourself in everything the draft, the evaluations, the scouting, the projections, the rankings, and then when it's all said and done, the grades. So I want you to give us all a explanation as to why the Bo Nix pick is being received so, if not poorly, so lukewarm around the NFL world. I want you to answer that coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Cecil, I'm in for Stinkwedge, who head out a little bit earlier this morning on a Friday.
Stink stuff.
He's got stink stuff to do. Help me out with this one, Cecil, because nobody does the draft like you do the draft, and I've got just mad respect for what the treadmill you've been just pounding along on the treadmill for the last few months. Great work as always.
I want to pound his ass.
But explain this one to me, because the reaction to the Bo Nix move has been lukewarm at best around the NFL world. I'm seeing the grades that get handed out. That's always a beaut. But anyway, Dan Graziano, for example, at ESPN gave the pick a C-. You're seeing a lot of, well, he got drafted way higher than he should have been. Just kind of all in all, a tepid response to the Bo Nix pick. Why?
When people say they overdrafted Bo Nix, I have to quote John McClain and say, sorry, Hans, wrong guess. And that's what it is right now, right? And you and I have gone back and forth for years about, can you grade a draft? And I always say, yeah, you can. You can right away. You can grade this pick right now. It's an A+. There is no doubt. There is no doubt that Bo Nix is an A+ pick for Sean Payton. And that's the key.
That's the key. Yeah, I'm
the
glad
key
you went
is
there.
Sean Payton. Who is it a pick for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's for the team. It's for the fans. For the kids, as M would say. Like, no, you know what it's for? It's for Sean Payton. And this is why everyone should get on board. I'm seeing people on social media say, why didn't they get Penix or whatever? Penix was very low on their board compared to the others and compared to Bo Nix, who was number three on their board, rightfully behind Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Had they come out last night, Mike, and said, Bo Nix was our best player, like, yeah, okay, you're lying. You ain't got to lie to kick it, Craig. We'd know that. They come out and say he was our number three guy on the board at the quarterback position. That makes sense for them. Remember, this is for Sean Payton. You have to grade it together and you have to combine it together because it's Payton's legacy. He's known as a great Saints coach who had a Super Bowl with Drew Brees. Well, that's his legacy right now. But if he wins a Super Bowl with another team because he chose Bo Nix and the Broncos got it right, well, guess what? Now you're considering him as one of the best of all time. We can have that GOAT conversation about Sean Payton. You don't think with Sean Payton's ego, he doesn't want to be remembered as one of the greatest coaches of all time? He's thought of as a really good coach, but historically, if he's the first coach to win two Super Bowls with two different teams, he's going to be, you know, dancing around that conversation. Not just tonight, hey, that was a real good coach, and him and Drew Brees are special. No, Sean Payton showed up to Denver and changed the culture. Let's take the Michael Malone example, right? Stop talking about LeBron, all right? Let's talk about the culture that is now being established. Now, is Bo Nix Nikola Jokic? Of course not. But Bo Nix with Sean Payton can and will work for this team, and that's why it's an A-plus pick. And for people to say he was overdrafted, he's been a top 15 pick for 2 years. Okay? This isn't a guy that just all of a sudden got hot. And as much as I appreciate J.J. McCarthy, I had a high second-round grade on J.J. McCarthy. Bo Nix, I had a first-round grade on, and I've had that grade on him for 2 years. So you get a guy that's well-established, well-known, and you mention his age, he can just show up and play. He can show up and start, and he can show up and work. That's exactly what he wants to do. At 2 o'clock, we'll have a press conference with him.
You have to look at this move, this pick, through the lens of Sean Payton. And I'm not here to tell you that just because Sean Payton picked Bo Nix, it's an automatic. But what I do like is that you brought Sean Payton here for a reason. You gave him the power. You gave him the money. You brought him here for a reason. So the last thing I want, is to bring Sean Payton here and not let Sean Payton do what Sean Payton wants to do. It just doesn't make sense. It's not guaranteed to work, but it makes no sense to have Sean Payton here and then say, Sean, don't do what you like. Don't do what you feel is a good fit. Don't do what you see is somebody that you think you can work on. The thing about Payton and his fit and why this has got to be talked about as the single most important thing in all of this, we know that Sean Payton wasn't a fit with Russell Wilson and vice versa. And, hey, we'll see what happens, and Russ will be in a position to make Sean Payton look bad. But Russ was never going to be a fit for Sean. Sean was never going to be a fit for Russ. They had to part ways. They had to divorce. It made no sense for Sean to try to continue to make it work with Russ. It wasn't the right fit. And so if you're going to bring Sean here, let him pick the quarterback that he thinks is the best fit. And so if he identifies Bo Nix as a guy that is somebody he wants to work with, then right away I like the pick because you're allowing Sean to do what he was brought here to do. And if he identifies a guy that he sees Drew Brees qualities in, that he sees a guy that he can have a Drew Brees type rapport with, an extension of Sean out there on the field, you got to let him make this kind of pick. And you got to feel optimistic as a Bronco fan because Sean is giving this guy that kind of endorsement. It's not with the certainty that it's going to work out.
Sure.
But it at least, as a Bronco fan, what I would try to sell you on is the idea that Sean has a quarterback that he has given his endorsement to based on the success that he had for all those years in New Orleans. And for me, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, what grinds my gears is when people talk about can't miss, can't miss, can't miss. Okay, what, Marvin Harrison? You know, Caleb Williams, the Bears are going to screw up Caleb Williams. I'm calling that. All right. So this whole like can't miss or, oh, you know, move back and get more picks. You weren't moving back because Sean McVay was ready to pounce on Bo Nix. Sean McVay, I feel like, you know, on the Dumb and Dumber scene, like when he gets IOUs for the Lamborghini, like $150,000, might want to hold on to that. Sean McVay, kind of a good guy, you know, kind of knows quarterbacks, right? Might want to watch out for that guy. You know, move back and get picks. This proves, speaking of fit, you know what the fit is? This is maybe the most exciting thing that nobody's yet talking about until now. The fit between Sean Payton and George Payton's going to work. Because last night, you didn't trade anything away to move up in heaven and earth and trading away Pat Surtain or whatever conversation you wanted. You stayed put, but you didn't move back and get more darts for George Payton, hopefully not to screw up. You stayed where you needed to stay. You got the quarterback that Sean Payton wanted that you could get. You weren't getting Caleb. You weren't getting Jaden, okay? So you stayed put, and you showed that those two can find that compromise. I had wondered about it. I asked them about it at the pre-draft press conference when they kept trying to one-up each other, which was so funny, but it's like, the fit between Sean Payton and George Payton can work, and it can be glorious. Let Sean do his thing. Let Sean be as aggressive as he needs to be. George, find the guys. When it's on day three of the draft, when we're talking Saturday, and everyone's falling asleep except me, don't fall asleep. Go get those day three freaks. We'll see if Payton can do that.
What do you think they do today? Do you see any kind of moves to get them into the second round?
Bold prediction, Buffalo will actually make a pick.
What are they doing?
Why do you give the Chiefs Xavier Worthy?
What are you doing?
He's the fastest guy on the planet, and the Bills are like, here you go, Kansas City. You're not going to beat him in the playoffs if you keep giving them playmakers. All right? Like, okay, so they'll make a pick, and then we'll see the movement. Is there a possibility they trade up? Sure. I don't know that. You know, they will do that. I say stick in a third round, take Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU that I love. I will take my shirt off if that happens. He's one of my favorite players in this draft. So, you know, tune in tonight. We got cameras in the studio, so tune in. There you go. They'll pick a third round player. People are saying defensive line. That's kind of a buzz out there. I'm saying the tight end. I know playmaking tight end is their second most need. But this Bo Nix thing, man, I think it proves that Sean and George can find that compromise, and I think that's a great combination when you can find a way to work together with two really good football guys that just want what's best for this team.
So you don't see Courtland Sutton getting traded?
Yeah, well, not for anything that would amount to anything today. God bless Courtland Sutton. I love him. But you're getting a fifth-round pick if he is traded. And you just got him a quarterback that he can work with. Now, I think that Bo Nix can make Marvin Mims into a superstar. Not star, superstar. It's there with Marvin Mims. The potential for him to be Emmanuel Sanders is there with Marvin Mims. You get a precise timing and rhythm guy like a Bo Nix, that's really good for a guy like Marvin Mims who can be precise on those short slant routes, stuff like that. Sutton's more of a jump ball guy. So it's a bit of a different fit, but you like having multiple clubs in the bag, right? I got my jump ball guy, I got my precise guy, you know, where's Tim Patrick running around doing his thing? So if the Broncos were to trade Courtland Sutton, it would be for like a fifth round pick. And that's at that point, you're not giving them a new contract. You know, that's the whole agent speak stuff, and that's what it was. Hey, I really want a new deal. You're lucky you have the deal you have now, okay? Get a 1,000-yard season, and then we'll talk, and then the answer will still be no. But still, like, come on, Court. Come on, Court's agent. I'm not going to blame Court. I'm going to blame his agent. Putting out that information is bogus, garbage information. Like, no, you're not going to pay him. And if you keep him, I mean, why would you trade him for a fifth round? Hey, we got a fifth-round pick, guys. Like, your wide receivers are dried up today. You've got about 25 in the first three rounds. So, you know, another dozen or so will go off the board today. So unless you're taking a wide receiver today, why would you trade Courtland Sutton for a fifth-round pick? Doesn't make much sense.
All right. I hear your argument. Does seem to make a lot of sense. What makes sense also is you signing up out there for the fan flyaway, because how about a free trip in June out to the finals for you and a lucky guest. You'll be amazed at how many friends of yours come out of the woodwork for this one. If you win, you get two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered our Fan Flyaway back in February to Vegas, you're automatically signed up for this one and all future Flyaway contests. Good stuff. Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. Is It Just Me? Friday rolls on next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Ecobill and autopay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.